Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tom on the Radio with your host, Tom O'Neill.
And good evening to all my friends, East Coast, West Coast, worldwide. I'm Tom O'Neill with another titillating, yes, I did say that word, and I mean that word, titillating. Yes, I said it again. I'm going to keep saying it until... another titillating edition of Tom on Radio. In the words of Enzo Amore, bada boom, realist men in the room. How you doing? And I hope you're doing. Got a lot to talk about tonight. LeBron finally delivered. So much that we have to talk about, but we can't talk in a one-way dialogue. That doesn't work in these parts. We have to have a co-pilot. And our co-pilot is the man, the myth, and sometimes the legend, Steve Baxley, who, by the way, will be Taylor Swift's next boyfriend. And that she can write some syllables about you when you break up with her.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm not too bad for a middle-aged fellow. Close to 130 Facebook messages of happy birthday yesterday, which was real nice. One of them were yours, and I thank you so much for it. I had six of my ex-bosses wish me a happy birthday, so I'm not such a bad fellow, I don't think. But it was real nice, yeah. Went with some friends of mine to see The Rock's new movie, Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart. It was for what it's worth, funny. It was devoid of too much of a realistic script. But if you just want to see The Rock's pecs, The Rock do his one-liners, Kevin Hart do his one-liners, you'll be very satisfied.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of satisfied, I'm sure the folks in I would say Cleveland, but that's for a little bit later. There was a stop the Cavaliers made before heading to C-Town, and that was in hot Vegas. Oh, I wish I was a mole on the wall in that casino that the Cavaliers stopped by. Can you imagine all those bottles that they drunk up? How much many mortgages were paid for that month because they stopped by and dropped a little bit of coin? And then they hopped on a plane this morning and got to Cleveland an hour late. But, hey, they had tens of thousands of fans waiting for them at the airport, and they were not disappointed.
Oh, but I will say this. Oh, what a game. What a game.
It was, many people say it was the best game seven ever, but I will venture to say it's one of the best games ever. I mean, both teams left it on the court last night.
yeah.
But as they say, Game 7 is not about team, it's about stars. And one big star with a crown on his head showed up last night and gave T. Cleveland that long thirsted for title.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is there any doubt about King James? I think they were buried and put to rest last night.
And speaking of which,
I hear something on the horizon from you.
We give courtesy credit to the folks at Awful Announcing. It was the closest game of the series, and it resulted in the highest overnight rating for the 2016 NBA Final. ABC received an 18.9 overnight rating for the game that made history for the Cleveland Cavaliers, the city of Cleveland, LeBron James, and the entire Northeast Ohio region. The overnight rating is the highest ever for an NBA game on the Alphabet Network. The game peaked with a 25.5 overnight number in the last quarter hour of the telecast from 10:30 to 10:45 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, it is the highest rated sports telecast on either ABC or its friendly neighborhood sports network, ESPN, since 2006, and up 7% from the last time ESPN produced an NBA Finals Game 7 for the Alphabet Network, the 2013 Miami-San Antonio series, which garnered a 17.7 overnight rating. And when the final numbers come out later today, we should see a viewership of close to 30 million viewers, but not close to the viewership record of 35.9 million for Game 6 of the 98 Finals between Chicago and Utah, but this is an improvement. Huzzah. And the Game 7 averaged 30.8 million viewers, which makes it the most watched NBA Finals since 1988. Congratulations, Cleveland. You broke everything.
Well, I will say this. If you are an account executive at Cleveland Station WEWS, last night you probably had your mortgage paid for the year.
And
they were the ones that carried the game in the Cleveland market on the ABC, and I'm sure they're
your old running mate, Mr. Fred McLeod, who along with his colleague, I forget his name, did the play by play.
Austin Carr
did the play by play for the folks inside the cube and the big old walk-around place that Dan Gilbert built. And I
disagree with you. No, Dan Gilbert did not build that arena. He refurbished it.
Yes, he did refurbish. I sit corrected. His call was awesome. And I wish all the sports highlight shows would have used his call for the final moment where he literally broke down and cried after saying 52 years, the 52-year drought is over.
Matter of fact, Steve, if people go to my Facebook site, Tom O'Neill, I have a clip of that last few seconds with Brett McLeod and Austin Carr doing the call. And like you said, it was spine tingling. And it was something that was never forgotten.
Oh.
I too was disappointed that ESPN didn't use Brett McLeod's call, but it might be a Fox Ohio thing. I don't know. but Mike Breen did a nice neutral job on the broadcast. But something like this, you want a Russ Hodges moment. You want a Russ Hodges excitement. I mean, you and I cannot relate to this, but for people who live in Cleveland, its suburbs, and in Northeast Ohio, they live and die with their sports teams. That's the one thing that unites suburb and city. And to have had so many world championships slip from their grasp over the last 52 years, and to finally get one, and that LeBron said, I came back here for one reason and one reason only, to bring Northeast Ohio a championship.
And he delivered.
My goodness. I mean, it will not be, whoever gets the next Cleveland championship will not be as good. Because they waited and slaved and went through so much to get this one, that the next one is just a topping on the cake for this one.
This is true.
You actually had TV news anchors crying on the air. I personally saw Channel 19 in Cleveland as when the game ended, right as the game ended, and you had anchors crying. Yeah, one anchor actually brought in a bottle of champagne with glasses. And the anchors actually drunk it. it was great to see humanness. But then you saw the overall emotion and joy of tens of thousands of fans in both downtown Cleveland and in Akron, Ohio. We can't forget Akron, because LeBron won't let you forget Akron. It all went well. There were like a handful of arrests. No couch burning. One police car was messed up, but all in all, they were well behaved. And I even think one police car is kind of a good payment for 52 years of frustration.
Oh yeah.
Now,
let's face it, folks. Cleveland deserved this. Everybody has been saying.
They did.
What happened to the Warriors? The Warriors played with heart. However, Cleveland, and let's face it, for anyone who saw the whole game, you saw what I saw. You saw a team with more hunger, more desire than the Golden State Warriors, and that was LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they just
and the big three showed up.
Not only showed up, but they took it to the net, and they just let the Golden State Warriors know, you're one and done.
It was mentioned on a sports show this afternoon. Yeah, the Golden State Warriors have 73 wins. Golden season, silver medal. But it just shows you how tough it is to win 16 games in not only a hockey playoff, but in an NBA playoff. Because you notice the series turned on the suspension of Draymond Green.
Yep.
The Golden State had the series on cruise control. But the good ones, you give them an inch, they take your title.
Yeah, and I have a feeling Dan Gilbert's going to make sure the core of that team is going to remain.
But I tell you, LeBron had faith in Kyrie Irving, and that faith got paid off big time.
Mm-hmm.
And even Kevin Love showed up and played Game 7.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, by the way, Richard Jefferson announced right after the game that he's retiring. So what a way to go out for RJ.
What a way for anyone to go out. You achieve your dream. You say to yourself, does this mean I could continue, or I've done my job. It's time to give youth a chance. And I gotta say it, God bless him. He brung it. He gave it. He won it.
Everybody on the Cavaliers brought it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. And this has been a weird year so far. I mean, Leicester City won the Premier League. The Cavaliers won the NBA title. The Lake Erie Monsters won the AHL. Could it be the stars will be aligned for a certain team that wears blue and silver to finally go from the pretenders column to the contenders column?
Oh, let there be hope. Let there be hope.
Because I tell you, I was thinking about that watching airplane landing this afternoon, that this could be Metro Airport, and it could be the Detroit Lions coming in after a Super Bowl win with tens of thousands of people waiting at the terminal.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's just a fantasy. The parade is Wednesday. To my knowledge, they haven't come up with a parade route yet. And, you know, they have to be very careful about where they do the parade because, number one, the Quicken Loans Arena is now in the hands of the Republican National Convention, so no part of that can be used.
That's going to be fun.
But downtown Cleveland is going to be jam-packed for a parade like no other.
Yes, and I can't wait to see it.
Well, I don't blame, you know, getting back to Richard Jefferson, I don't blame him. I mean, how better can it get?
No, it's like, I've been there, I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to let take over.
And ESPN's got a job waiting for me.
Oh yeah. I think he'll be with those fun boys in Bristol.
Yes. Now getting to the Golden State side. This now means Luke Walton is officially now the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yep.
And the draft is on next Thursday.
Yep.
I think it's next Thursday. Or is it this Thursday? It's either this Thursday or next Thursday. But this is where it should get fun for a lot of teams that want to dethrone the king. And that includes almost every one of them.
And as for my favorite two stations and the favorite lady, Beth McLeod, I posted a little artwork. I've been busy on artworks.
I bet you have.
put it this way. I may not have the official blessing, but for one whole non-NBA year, Cleveland's two television stations, channels 19 and 43, shall henceforth be known as Cavs 19 and Cavs 43.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so happy for Fred. You don't know how happy I am that someone I worked with in Detroit is doing so well in C-Town and will be getting a ring for his efforts. I'm so happy for him, and obviously I'm happy for Beth also. I dubbed him the first media couple of Cleveland, and I don't know if Fred's going to have the adrenaline meltdown to rest up for next season, because he can probably come on and keep doing things, you know, maybe like substitute sports anchoring every once in a blue moon.
Oh, I will tell you, Freddie McLeod looked like the kid in the candy store when he said,
"Oh, Fred looks like a kid." Fred looks like a kid anyway. He sounds like a kid. I guess seeing LeBron James half of the year makes you feel like a kid.
Oh yeah, and I gotta say congratulations, Fred, and all the gang over at Fox Sports Ohio, all the gang in Cleveland. This was yours to get. You finally got it, and you ended a very, very long drought. And now, I wonder whose turn is it now in the old NBA lexicon of lexicon. Who's next?
Who's next? It won't be Sacramento. It's going to be interesting to see, for example, the biggest news today, not only is Luke Walton now the head coach, but Iggy Azalea and Spiky P have broken off. I guess he couldn't stop his old ways.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be looking for another vixen on the vine, as they say. Speaking of anchoring, there's some news out of your neck of the woods, just to the northeast of you, that our old friend, and some consider him old, Frank Turner, will be anchoring news in the Flint, Saginaw, Bay Cities area, starting coming real soon.
Oh, yeah.
For those who don't know, Frank Turner did two stints at WXYZ in Detroit, got caught up in a scandal involving phone sex. I know that's an archaic thing these days, but back in the early 2000s, and it was a large thing that went on, and so he got pulled off of Channel 7, did a little bit of ministering, came back to Channel 7, left on his own, started his own ministry, and I guess the itch just got to him. Either that or he couldn't find another job. But there are worse places to land in Saginaw than WNEM. So I guess, you know, it's just the lesser of two or three evils.
I tell you, it's nice to see Frank Turner back doing what he loved to do, I guess.
I guess. And I guess, you know, being the cynic that I am, and that Channel 7 just got a new news director who's a friend of mine, I wonder, is there a possibility of a third go-round at Broadcast House for Mr. Turner?
Oh, we'll never know, but it would be.
No, you won't. You never know. You never know. I'm just putting it out there because like we have seen stranger things have happened.
Yep, for every news director that has ever been at the broadcast house, you know and I know, things change, people change, and the surprises keep going on.
And I think there are going to be some surprises at Channel 7 when Rhonda LaBelle takes over fully, because they did not bring her here there to caretake. They brought her in there to shake things up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put it past her to change up the Now Detroit and make that into a total action news where you will now have action news from 4 to 6:30 and 7 to 7:30.
Like I say, nothing would surprise me about, you know, what will be happening at Channel 7. And I just find it interesting that Rhonda worked also at Channel 4 when I worked there. And she was, back with her at the time, she was very ambitious.
Yeah, in fact, we should slap our heads in just total embarrassment because we forgot one other station. We forgot one little thing, boys and girls. They got two stations at EO Broadcast Chalet.
Oh, yeah.
And wouldn't it be nice if she goosed up the egg over at 20?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if she turns Channel 20 into a TV broadcast version of WWE and NXT.
If it bleeds,
Get that farm club ready. That's why I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens, because they brought her in to shake things up. And Channel 7, as you know, Steve, is not the powerhouse it once was.
I think you're going to see some big-time changes, and it's going to be changes. It's not going to be bad changes. Not going to be bad changes, because when you got
it's going to be more like additional changes.
Yeah,
it won't be too much subtraction.
No, when you have two stations under one roof, a new news director coming in will only enhance things.
We hope, or certain anchors there. Or a certain anchors dare hope.
Indeed, because I'm telling you, I would love to see. I know I'll probably get ridiculed for this, so let it be. So let it be said. So let it be done.
Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be.
I would seriously love to see Channel 20 be, well, sort of the powerhouse of independent stations. Like Channel 50 used to be long ago.
Yeah, but attitudes have changed in the last 20, 30 years. I mean, it's more corporate these days than trying things, because as you well remember, there was a time that Channel 50 was the most watched TV station in Detroit, including channels 2, 4, and 7.
This is true.
Yeah, we were that little engine that not just did, but corporate greed came in and upset the apple cart. A lot of us were hungry back then, but now not too many people have that hunger. because corporations, all they care about is making as much money as they can while they spend the least.
Yeah, that's true, but you gotta think. You gotta think, and this is why I've gotta say that you gotta think. CBS must really feel a little tinge of embarrassment, because they are, I think, the only one of the three big major network hubs, owned and operated stations, with an owned and operated station in Detroit, but with no news.
And they could have started up a news department, but they didn't want to spend money. Now their thing is just have enough news and public affairs to make it legal.
Yeah, but everybody knows there's a hunger there. And when that hunger grows, you can't stop it.
Yeah, but hunger is on whose part? The employees or the employers?
True.
I mean, when I worked at Channel 50 before CBS came in and did what they did, we were all hungry. We had a corporation that gave us anniversary gifts, gave us lots of vacation time, overpaid a lot of us, including myself. I didn't complain. We felt like family. We were family back then. But as soon as corporate came in and saw all the excess in their eyes and all that, they just started taking and taking and taking. And December the 2nd, 2002, they said, "We're going to take your jobs." And a lot of us haven't been the same since. It was just corporate greed. Because I think if they knew now what they didn't know 14 years ago, I think there would still be news at that station.
Indeed.
Well, we can't cry over spilled milk. Good luck to Frank Turner as he rebuilds his career. And congratulations to the Cleveland Cavaliers for doing their part to rebuild the CLE.
And we've got one more quick business note. The UFC has just been bought.
Ooh, do tell.
That's right. The UFC was purchased by, and I am getting that name right now, you're going to love the familiarity, $4.2 billion.
$1 billion.
It was bought.
$1 billion, four times over.
That's right. And reportedly, one of the owners, it's a consortium led by William Morris Entertainment / International Media Group, otherwise known as WMEIMG.
Okay.
And for those of you that are very familiar with those little numbers, with those little letters, especially the IMG part, they're the ones that bring you the Michigan games, the University of Michigan Wolverine basketball, baseball, football games to a zillion homes.
Tiddlywinks.
Yeah.
Tiddlywinks.
Yeah, tiddlywinks. But $4 billion plus, you got the big deal with the Big Ten re-signing with ESPN. for half of the Big Ten Conference schedule.
I'm sure the Big Ten Network let that begrudgingly go.
Yep, through the 2022-2023 season, it is a good chunk of change. ESPN gets it, CBS gets it. The Big Ten is now the big pie in the sky. It's let's see, ESPN 6-year deal worth $190 million per season for just half of the rights. The other half of the conference rights are going to Fox Sports, which is paying the Big Ten roughly $240 million per each season. CBS also gets its pie in the old Big Ten dealy bop. Money, 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 money. What can I say?
And the athletes don't get a dime of it, allegedly.
No, they won't, which is sad. Let's see. CBS has renewed their hoops only package for $10 million. Put it all together, and you've got a 6-year, $2.64 billion rights deal for the conference. That averages $440 million per season. Wow.
And you divide that up 12 different ways, and each school gets a very good hunk of change. No wonder Maryland and Rutgers were so gung-ho in joining the Big Ten.
And here is the difference, so says Sports Business Daily. The difference between two packages is that Fox Sports will carry the Big Ten football championship game every season. Fox also will have game selection advantage over ESPN, which means that the coveted, the gold standard of football, Michigan versus Ohio State, will move to Fox for most of the contract season. Before each season, the networks will pick the weeks where they will get first choice of games. Fox will have the first pick every year. ESPN will have the second. Fox will have the third, and thus. Wow. Freaking incredible.
And the rich get richer.
And all of us see our prices on cable go higher and higher.
Yeah, speaking of cable, it's not actually cable, but this network last week dropped the NFL Network and the NFL Red Zone. Now that is very concerning to us football fans. Obviously, I don't have per se Dish Network, but I've had Dish Network on my when I was just a subscriber, and I find myself watching NFL Network a lot. And don't get me started about Red Zone. Oh, my goodness. I used to sit in front of a TV just watching Red Zone.
Me too.
Just watching highlights, not highlights, but live cut-ins of scoring plays. No matter where they are, it was great.
That's right.
I mean, but Dish customers won't have that anymore. And I'm sure a lot of them who are pissed off.
Oh, yes.
And speaking of Dish Network customers, looks like we're in a Mexican standoff now between Dish Network and the Tribune Media Company for retransmission of Tribune properties. I.e. WGN America, and in our area, in my neck of the woods, as they say, the CBS affiliate and the CW affiliate, they all are blacked out on Dish Network grid. So I guess Dish is making a stand, like saying, because I tend to believe some of these broadcast companies are unreasonable in terms of wanting more money for something, as this network says, something people can get for free.
I agree.
So, you know, I'm for this network on this one. I mean, nobody wins. Nobody wins on this one. No one. Before we run out of time, a quick squared circle mention. Looks like the major thing, only major thing that happened at the Money in the Bank is that Dean Ambrose won the WWE title. Natalya made a heel turn on Becky Lynch. And we don't know who's going to be running SmackDown and Raw. I guess they want to keep us in suspense until the actual broadcast of the first live SmackDown that's scheduled for Tuesday, July the 19th.
Wow. We shall wait and see what happens. By the way, Justin Upton just hit a home run. Tigers beat the Mariners 8-7 in 12 innings.
Woo-hoo! Goody, goody, goody. Go get him, Tiger.
Oh.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Justin Upton is from Chesapeake. So, as is his brother BJ. Well, it's now Melvin Upton. But little Hampton Roads representation on the last thing you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
That's very good. That's very good. So as we reach the end of another, did I say titillating?
Yep.
Edition of Tom on the Radio. Speak for yourself, bub. I wouldn't know titillation if it bit me. he got the bell. Oh, that sounds like titillation to me. Anyway, we covered a lot. We talked about a lot, but it's time to go now. Steve Backley's show, The Last Call Cafe with Lugnut 6, airs every Friday night from 11:30 until midnight, or a little past the midnight hour, on Friday evenings on Blog Talk Radio with two schlubs. One is named JTB. The other schlub is Identity Withheld, but we know who he is.
So
with that, I'm Tom O'Neill. Thank you very much for listening to me either live or on archive, and we'll keep doing this show until we eventually get this show done right. So there. So take care, see you. I'll talk to you Friday, and everybody else, make it a good week, and we'll come be back. Same bat time, same bat channel. Take care, everyone.